Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Listen, Matthew 5, 6. Jesus, and listen, these chapters right here in Matthew are incredibly powerful. But here's what Jesus said. Blessed are those, now listen, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. There's translations that say completely satisfied. Okay, now listen, this hunger and thirst isn't like a natural hunger and thirst. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are people that have made a decision to hunger after righteousness, a decision to thirst after righteousness. See, in our natural lives, if we don't drink, if we get thirsty, the reason we get thirsty is because we are getting dehydrated. And then when you're dehydrated, it affects your heart, it affects your blood pressure, it affects your brain, it affects everything in your physiology. And we have to understand that. But listen, it's not a decision that you make to be thirsty. You're just naturally thirsty. If you don't eat for a while, you're naturally hungry. But see, here's what happens. Here's what's interesting about being thirsting and being hungry spiritually is that you have to make a decision. But here's what's interesting. We can get by without it. See, so many people are dehydrated spiritually. So many people are malnourished spiritually because they can't recognize that that's a decision in their life. It's a decision that you get in the Word. It's a decision that you pray. It's a decision that you... And listen, what's attached to that decision is discipline. See, and what marks our discipline is that we're disciples. Do you understand? You can't be a disciple without discipline. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to choose. And you've got to decide to be hungry and thirsty after the things of God. That you hunger and thirst after right standing with God. You have to hunger after that level with God to be at eye level with God. You've got to thirst to be there. Yeah, otherwise, you're just going to live a natural life. And let me tell you what's not worth the kingdom. It's not worth living a life, a natural life, when you've got the kingdom at your disposal. See, in Mark, the second chapter, God, I thank you for miracles tonight. This chapter... The first about dozen verses are going to start triggering things in your heart. The transforming power of God's word is going to come into play tonight. And I'm just telling you, I've been in prayer all day about this. See, and I just don't want to get in the way. I don't want to try to manufacture anything. I don't want to try to talk God into anything. I'm just telling you, man, his word's going to be alive and powerful tonight in the name of Jesus. Okay? And again, he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Now, here's what's interesting. Immediately, many gathered together. Man, it was just a phenom what was happening. Okay? Now, listen. So that there was no longer room in the house to receive anybody that came. Not even near the door. They couldn't get to the front porch. Now listen, and he preached the word to them. That's all he did. He just preached the word. That's how powerful the word is. And you know what? God's word's going to be activated in your life today as you receive it. All right? Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they couldn't come near even the door, they couldn't get near him because of the crowd, they climbed to the roof and they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, here's what's interesting. Sunday I talked about the woman with the issue of blood. She said, man, if I get an audience with Jesus, that's all I need. And then she thought, oh my gosh, I'm too weak. I can't get to him because of the crowd. Plus, it's illegal for me to mix in a crowd because of the ailment that I have. But if I could but touch the hem of his garment. So here Jesus is. Jesus walking down the path. She touches the hem of his garment. He stops and says, "Who touched me?" And they said, "What do you mean, who touched you?" He said, "Who touched my virtue?" See, tonight, that's where you need to get. Man, God has a miracle for every person in this place tonight. Whether it's a breakthrough, whether it's a release, whether it's, I'm just telling you, the miracle power of God is at hand tonight. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So here's this guy, these four guys that broke open the roof. They lowered this guy down to where Jesus was. These religious people were there and reasoning in their hearts. Now think about this. And here's what's awesome about this, is the devil can't read your mind, but Jesus can. And Jesus turned to those scribes, those religious guys, and he said, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's what Jesus perceived they were thinking. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart?" They didn't say it. They were reasoning in their hearts. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or arise, take up your bed and walk. He trapped them. They had no recourse. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately, the paralytic rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of everybody, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." See, verse 4, it says that they tore the roof back. It's amazing how God wants us to destroy that the things that are our lids in our life, the things that hover over us, the things that are limits in our lives. That's what they did. They didn't pull the siding off the house to get in. They went up to the roof and they dropped him down. It's not hard to make a difference. You just have to try. Those four men were like, "You know what? We aren't gonna take any chances." Now, figuratively, they tore the lid off it. Where's the lid in your life? Do you have a lid in your life financially? Do you have a lid in your life in your marriage, in your home? Do you have a lid in your life with your vocation? Do you have a lid in your life with people you're believing God for? Are you even believing God for people that are in your life that don't know the Lord? See, this is where we have to get. Verse 12, it says, "Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all. And he had to walk through them, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they said, 'We've never seen anything like this.'" See, their mindset was amazing, those four men. And you have to think about that. Who's your company? Who are you around? Constantly, every daily, who are you around? Are they negative? Are they skeptical? Are they do they have distrust in their hearts? See, the mindset of these four men was amazing. And you know what they said? "We don't care what it cost us. We don't care about the relationships. We don't care. We don't care what anybody thinks. We don't care what the doubters are about. We just have to get our friend to Jesus." That's all they cared about. And see, we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that the mindset of those four men was, they're like, "You know what? Come hell or high water, no matter what, we're going to get our friend to Jesus." And so who were your four? I can think about the people that were my four in my life. Man, the people that tore the lid off of the limits that were in my life. I mean, you think about it, because as a Christian, I knew I was ill-equipped for this life. How do you do it? How do you follow Jesus? How do you live in the world as long and as hard as I did and then follow Jesus. See, we have to understand that. We need a company of people. This paralytic had four people. And are you one of four for somebody else? See, none of us can do this alone. If let me just tell you, anything in your life that you're doing alone, you're wrong. You're doing it wrong. Anything in your life. Man, you're raising kids, and you want them to go clean the garage. It's like, okay, look, just let me do it. And we get frustrated. So you know what? Man, we're not developing people. See, what's more important? Is it more important that your garage gets clean or that your son gets developed? See, we've got to think about this. See, who around you are paralyzed? Because let me tell you, in 2024, I don't think you have to go very far to find them. See, people are miserable and they're desperate and they're possibly they're heading to hell because they can't see a way to get to Jesus. I had a realization in my life that was so supernatural and so powerful. God delivered me out of a situation before I was a Christian, and I could have got sick to my stomach. I could have thrown up because I thought, oh no, this Jesus stuff is real. Do you understand? 50% of our community doesn't go to church. And let me tell you, I'm telling you, if you're doing it alone, you're doing it wrong. People that don't go to church are trying to do it alone, trying to get by. I believe the church is the hope of the world. I can back that up throughout Scripture. God's plan to reach people and to meet their needs is the definition of church, of ecclesia, where we come together and walk in the authority that God's given us. But you think about it, here we are, And we're trying to do all of our diligence. We're trying to dot every I and cross every T, and 50% of the people aren't buying in. And we've got to ask ourselves why. And I get it. It's a tough pill to swallow that we've got to die to ourselves. But let me tell you, we got to reach people for Jesus. We got to help people get to the need-meeting God that He is. Easter's in 2.5 weeks. Frankie talked to us about it. But I'm gonna be here this Sunday. See, I'm not just gearing things up to Easter. There's not just this big crescendo. This isn't a snowball that's rolling down a hill. It's getting bigger and bigger. I'm telling you, lives are going to be changed tonight. Lives are going to be changed Sunday. Lives are going to be changed Friday morning at groceries. See, we've got to understand. Do you understand? There's a team of men that are just done tonight. Lives are going to be changed. Guys that are incarcerated, what kind of hope do they have living in a cage, living in a cell? Man, they're not able to go to the counter and order food. See, we've got to understand that. So Easter's in 2.5 weeks. And the incredible thing about Easter, people are okay to go to church on Easter. They're okay to go to church on Christmas Eve. So you know what? I believe we've got to hit that. And I'm ready to tear the roof off of what has limited people, hindering them from getting to Jesus. And see, the Bible, it's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. How will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone preach? How is someone going to preach unless they're sent? Now understand this. Understand how this works. How will they know is determined by being sent. And see, we've got to understand that. You know, if we're truly ambassadors for Christ, and we are the hope of the world, and the hope that God gives mankind is the church. It's one of two things that God's ordained. And let me tell you something. I balk at it once in a while too. You know, I think about it. I think, you know, if I just went out on the street a couple hours every day, I could probably win more people to the Lord than's going to happen in these church services. But it's not just all about that. It's about those defining moments with that guy where Jesus said, which is more difficult, your sins are forgiven or pick up your bed and walk? Do you understand? That guy was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. Yet he got up and rolled his bed up and walked through the people that were skeptical. See, man, think about the statement of Mark 2. Think about the statement that's made in mankind. And let me tell you, God's got a precedent. Some of you guys that are paralyzed in areas of your life, guess what? Whatever caused it, let's say that it's sin or it's not sin. But whatever the reason, I'm telling you, it's going to be nullified. And you know what that's going to happen? You're going to have the ability to get up and roll that bed up and with dignity be able to walk home. See, here's the simple message of this church. God hasn't given up on you. Listen, no matter what you've done or where you've been, God believes in you. Man, God, I'm telling you, God wants you plugged in to him through this church. How will they know unless someone's sent? What do you think that sent is? That sent is the apostolic approach to the local church. See, God loves you. He makes your crooked places straight. He's a light under your path and a lamp under your feet. And he makes all things brand new. Everything in your life right now, because I quote this verse from 2 Corinthians, I quote this verse that old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. That's active now in your life because that word was spoken over your life. So now you're like, wait a second, but I've got all this baggage and I got all this stuff. No, everything's brand new. See, God loves and rescues broken people. See, we've got to understand that. See, we've got to reiterate this. And you know what? God uses relentless Christians, relentless friends, relentless families. See, I think that's a problem with most young men in America today. They don't have dads who are relentless. And I'm telling you, we've got to, let me tell you a great way to parent a kid. Because I said so, and then don't move from it. See, we've got to understand that. In 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul writes, it says, we become all things to all men that we might save some. But you know what? We got to love everybody. And we're going to save some. We've got to reach out to everybody. We've got to invite everybody. We've got to recruit everybody. Man, everybody here got a text today. There's going to be miracles and quesadillas. And you might be here and go, well, I don't know if I need a miracle. Well, you need a dadgum quesadilla. We know that. See, paralysis is overcome in all of our lives, in people's lives, by being with the right people at the right place. That's how it works. Man, I'll tell you, anything that I've gone through in my life, it's because of the people I've been around. Let me just help you. Sandy's not going to let me fail. Scott's not going to let me give up. Man, we've got to, man, the Longacres are going to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, no matter what. See, a big point from Mark, the second chapter, is judgmental people don't matter. Don't matter. Man, those scribes were reasoning within themselves. Jesus walked up and said, why are you reasoning like that? He called them out. Are you here today, paralyzed in an area of your life? And can I tell you, some of you guys are paralyzed because of pride. You don't want anybody to know you are. Listen, the judgmental people don't matter. Nobody here is looking for you to be perfect. They're just looking for you to continually to direct and redirect your lives to God's promise. See, some of you guys haven't served God in 20 years, and now you're here, and you're thinking, man, what do I do? I've wasted all this time. Man, there's so many people that said, man, I've driven by this church for 20 years and I wish I would have come in sooner. It's like, well, you didn't, but you're here now. And you know what? You know what's amazing about God? He is redemptive. God's redemptive. God redeems us. God redeems everything. And you know what that means? He makes everything new. And you're in here and you're like, well, I've got early onset dementia or Alzheimer's or, you know, my memory. No, God makes your memory brand new. I'm just here to tell you, he makes everything new. You might say, well, but I've never been able to overcome financially. Today you do. You know why? That lid is being pulled off your life. And you know what? You're going to drop down to Jesus. See, that's how this works. Are you here today and you're paralyzed in an area of your life? And you sure would love to be free. I'm going to ask elders and pastors to come to the front of the stage right here. And the band to come back. And I'm kind of winging this a bit, kind of like we did the 60-day revival. Okay, we didn't rehearse this. We didn't practice this. We, that I know of. But I'm telling you, you don't have to be paralyzed anymore. You don't have to be that person that doesn't have their breakthrough. Because let me tell you what these guys are ready to do. And I did contact them and said, and I told them, ready your heart. Because let me tell you, they're gonna tear the roof, the limit off your whatever it is. And you know what? You can pridefully sit this out. But let me help you. We're so sin conscious and shouldn't be. Because the consciousness we should have is pride. We have to understand pride comes before the fall, not sin. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to lead you to green pastures and fresh water and shelter. He's going to strengthen you with his might. But if we don't humble ourselves, God resists the proud. But he gives his power, his favor to the humble. You might say, well, it's never been fair. That's let me tell you, God is never gonna tell you it's never fair for you. But I'm here to tell you it's not fair. Because God's called us to win. It's not fair because the limit that's tried to remain in your life and keep you down is going to be stripped tonight. So as the music starts, as we begin to worship God, I want you to just get out of your seat. And you know what? If you want to, you could say, man, I've got a limit in my life. I've got a financial limit in my life. I've got a relational limit in my life. Man, some of you guys may have been diagnosed on the spectrum. Let me help you. Get in line. Man, understand, some of you guys may be single and you may be dealing with that. I'm telling you, man, don't let it become a limit in your life, because what God wants to do is set you free from all those limits. That's what Mark 2 is about. And that's what's active tonight. That word right now is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.